You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Anthony Kasterman. Time for our weekly Twins chat. I'm going to bring in Rhett Bollinger here. And, Rhett, this has just been a miserable year in Minnesota. There's no other way to put it. Not the season the Twins expected. I know that leads to some big picture discussions involving Terry Ryan and Paul Molitor. Certainly seems like both of those guys are safe. But where do things head from here, in your opinion, as far as the possibility of retooling this thing a bit mid-season? Is there any conversation along those lines?
Yeah, a little bit. Like you said, I do think that right now that Terry Ryan and Paul Molitor are safe. Ownership and Jim Polad supports them both. But yeah, they're going to probably shake some things up going forward here. Luckily, Kyle Gibson's coming off the DL, and it looks like Byron Buxton's still playing pretty well there at AAA. I'm guessing he'll come up and he'll shake some things up that way. Obviously made a move to get Robbie Grossman, and he's been pretty good. And you got to figure, too, leading up into July, obviously we're not quite there yet in late July, but they're going to start trading some guys, too, try to get some values. And obviously knowing at this point, that they're just out of it. Obviously they had high hopes to make the postseason, maybe be even a wild card team after just missing out last year. And at some point, they kind of got to retool this roster and see if it's worth trading guys, maybe even a guy who had some value like a Trevor Plouffe who they didn't want to trade in the offseason, but now still has, next year under contract too as well, so it wouldn't just be a full rental. And they got to kind of maybe see if they can give some of these younger guys, whether Max Kepler, an extended look in the outfield, whether that means they have to trade Oswaldo Arcia to make room for him. We'll kind of see. There's just going to be some guys that are going to kind of move around here. They've already done a lot of roster reshuffling. They're trying to do whatever they can to kind of shake this team up, and so far, truthfully, none of it's really worked. They've tried to, change even the lineup up. They've moved around some guys in the outfield. They've tried a bunch of different stuff. They're trying to get Eduardo Nunez as much playing time as he can, just because he's been their best hitter pretty much. But so far, nothing they've done really has seemed to work.
Yeah, you're right. A lot of roster movement in the last couple of weeks. Pat Dean, Taylor Rogers, Brandon Kinsler, Robbie Grossman, Darren Mastriotti. So it's been a lot that has not added up to much, unfortunately. I wonder, Rhett, how is Paul Molitor handling this? Obviously, this is a Hall of Fame caliber player and stepped into a situation as a manager that looked like it could only get better and got tremendously better last year, and you want to continue to ride that wave. This is not exactly the kind of season he signed up for or anticipated. How's he handling it?
Surprisingly well, to be honest. He's not someone that, at least with the media, we get to see him every day, talk to him before and after every game. And he's been the same old Paul with us as he was last year when the things were going well. So that's kind of the thing about him. He's very even keel. He's not someone that gets, too high or too low and doesn't get too snippy or angry at the media about questions. He knows that this team is really underachieved, hasn't played well. And I think he understands, too, that some of that does fall on him and the coaching staff. At the same time, there's only so much he can do. But he's not sulking. He's not, doing anything like that. He's trying to stay positive. He's a pretty positive guy. But he's also a realist and knows at this point that the season is pretty much lost. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with some guys that are struggling. Maybe Brian Dozier's really been struggling. If he doesn't get it going, what they decide to do with him. I think bullpen-wise, like you said, they've made some changes, bringing up guys like Kinsler, and obviously Dean now is in the rotation. So and we'll see if other guys down there, whether Berríos comes back up to start, he gets it going. But he just walked five guys in his last minor league outing. Molitor really has been pretty good. The only thing, he's not really a big fiery guy. And some fans, criticize him for that. He's not someone who gets in everyone's face and is kind of getting, real emotional and fired up the way that Ron Gardenhire would have been in a season like this. But that's not his style. And I think that he said he doesn't want to be anybody he's not. He's more of a, talk to the players directly and express his opinion rather than, yell at them and blow them up, especially on TV. One of the cases was Miguel Sano. In the game a couple nights ago, was kind of didn't run out a ball that hit off the wall, and Sano didn't go after it. And even that time, it seemed like Molitor kind of in the post game wasn't really exactly ready to rip Sano until he got a better grasp on it and saw the video. He's not someone that really is going to go through the media even to really rip a guy. He did that a little bit with Eddie Rosario, and he benched him and then pretty much optioned him the next day for kind of a couple boneheaded plays he made. Last week, but for the most part, he's not really an overly emotional guy or a guy that's really letting the losses get to him too much. But at the same time, it's kind of taking a toll on him just because, like you said, he didn't see this coming. He thought this was a team that could compete this year. And for it not to happen, definitely is disheartening for Molitor.
Yeah, you mentioned that Sano play, and I know Molitor said afterward, that one thing where Sano has been slow in his acclimation to the outfield is just being comfortable with the wall. I wonder, Rhett, do you see a scenario, and we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves here, but just kind of piecing things together, you talk about Trevor Plouffe as a potential trade candidate. Sano's defensive struggles in the outfield continue. I just wonder if maybe that is something in the offing later this year where they open up third base for him again.
Yeah, I can see it. It's going to be interesting. I mean, the big thing was is that Molitor really is a really big fan of Trevor Plouffe. And I think really in the offseason, the Twins never really did entertain any trade offers. It was one of those things where everyone kind of just assumed it was going to happen because it made sense. You know, obviously, like you said, have Sano go back to his natural position at third base, trade Plouffe for some pitching help. At the time, especially in the offseason, people thought, okay, maybe trade him for a reliever or two to help that bullpen. But the Twins hung on to him, and part of it was just that Molitor really wanted Plouffe's bat in the lineup, too. He's obviously become a pretty good defensive third baseman as well. They thought, okay, well, we can get his bat in the lineup. This way we can get, Park's bat at DH and then keep Sano in the lineup by playing him out in the right field. And they knew it was going to be a transition. It was going to be tough for Sano. But at the same time, it hasn't really worked out so far. And Plouffe does have some value. So it's going to be kind of up to Ryan and Molitor to see if that's what they still believe. They think that Plouffe is still worth keeping for his bat. But at the same time, at this point, they might as well try to see what they can do with Sano at third, maybe, and a new outfield with some of the younger guys. But the hard thing is some of these younger guys, they were counting on, like, Buxton and Rosario had such tough seasons that they're back down in the AAA. And maybe they can get it going and get it going again. And same with Kepler. That could be their outfield of the future. But until they figure that out, too, they kind of got to figure out their outfield options as well. But, yeah, it could make some sense. I mean, you got to see what kind of value you can get from him. You know, I think in the offseason, the one kind of trade for a third baseman was Yunel Escobar went to the Angels, and all the Nationals got was Trevor Gott, who hasn't been very good from what I've seen at AAA. So you got to wonder what kind of value you can get and if it makes sense. But they can get some sort of pitching help or something like that for Plouffe, I certainly think they're going to explore it. Because at this point, really going into the trade deadline, almost anybody should be on the table except for the top prospects, the guys like the Buxtons and Sanos and Berrios. Outside of those guys, they really should be able to kind of listen on anybody.
And getting back to Dozier, who you mentioned earlier, obviously his struggles have been pretty profound. Terry Ryan said, we need to fix Brian Dozier. No denying that. His .206 average since last year's All-Star game ranked dead last among the 111 players with at least 400 plate appearances. That stat really drives it home, Rhett. I knew his struggles were steep. I didn't quite realize that's how steep until I saw that stat. What can they do with Dozier?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, like you said, they definitely had a tough second half last year after a great first half with Tom being All-Star for the first time. It's kind of been the way his career has gone, where he's kind of really had a really strong first half, and it's kind of fallen off in the second half pretty much throughout his career until this year. All of a sudden now, he's had a tough first half. And he showed some signs, a few weeks ago that he's coming out of it. He had a nice series in Houston, starting to kind of get his back going after some mechanical adjustments. And then sure enough, he hurt his hamstring and missed a few games, and ever since then, he's kind of been in a tailspin. I think he went 1-for-16 in the four-game series against the Blue Jays. I think the big thing is that, pitchers have adjusted to him and basically don't throw him much pitches inside anymore. I think in the past, if he ever got an inside fastball or a fastball out and over the plate, he'd always turn on it and, hit a lot of home runs, 28 home runs last year, showed off his power and even his doubles. But I think pitchers are just going away now. They're just throwing the ball away from him, down and away. It seems like it's kind of their thing because he doesn't really hit the ball to the opposite field much. So it's going to be kind of on him to adjust, but at some point he's got to figure that out and see if he needs to go the other way more. But he also has to kind of play to his strengths, though, too. It's just he's not getting those pitches that he likes as much. It's because the pitchers know that. So I'm curious to see how it kind of plays out. It is pretty amazing that, like you said, that he's dead last in batting average since the second half of last season. Because this year he's hitting .199 entering Tuesday, and it's been pretty rough. And Jorge Polanco is one of their top prospects who's actually had a very nice year at AAA, and it's kind of been up and down this year, and has actually fared pretty well offensively. It hasn't really got a chance to play regularly, and I don't think they're ready to fully bench Dozier or really even send him to AAA yet because they know that he was an All-Star last year, and he's technically, kind of their biggest team leader. So that would be a pretty strong message if they were to demote him or to even bench him just because of what he was, what he meant in the last 2 years and kind of as a team leader. But he's got to get it going, and it's kind of on him to adjust, like I said, just because pitchers seem to have kind of figured him out a little bit. And until he finds a way to kind of counteract that, it's going to continue to be a struggle for him.
All right. Well, hopefully the Twins can dig out of their early struggles in some measure and make some positive strides out of this 2016 season. We'll see how it continues to develop. We'll continue to check in with Rhett each week. I want to thank him for joining us. Thank you all for tuning in. It's been MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.